We were, Ron stammered. We were going to go and see Hermione, said Harry. Ron and Professor McGonagall both looked at him. We haven't seen her for ages, Professor, Harry went on hurriedly, treading on Ron's foot, and we thought we'd sneak into the hospital wing, you know, and tell her the mandrakes are nearly ready, and, not to worry. Professor McGonagall was still staring at him, and for a moment Harry thought she was going to explode. But when she spoke, it was in a strangely croaky voice. Of course, she said, and Harry, amazed, saw a tear glistening in her beady eye. Of course, I realize this has all been hardest on the friends of those who have been. I quite understand. Yes, Potter, of course you may visit Miss Granger. I will inform Professor Binns where you've gone. Tell Madame Pumphrey I have given my permission. Harry and Ron walked away, hardly daring to believe that they'd avoided detention. As they turned the corner, they distinctly heard Professor McGonagall blow her nose. That, said Ron fervently, was the best story you've ever come up with. They had no choice now but to go to the hospital wing and tell Madame Pumphrey that they had Professor McGonagall's permission to visit Hermione. Madame Pumphrey let them in, but reluctantly.
"There's just no point talking to a petrified person," she said, and they had to admit she was right when they'd taken their seats next to Hermione.
It was plain that Hermione didn't have the faintest inkling that she had visitors, and that they might just as well tell her bedside cabinet not to worry, for all the good it would do.
"Wonder if she did see the attacker, though," said Ron, looking sadly at Hermione's rigid face. "Because if he sneaked up on them all, no one'll ever know."
But Harry wasn't looking at Hermione's face. He was more interested in her right hand. It lay clenched on top of her blankets, and bending closer, he saw that a piece of paper was scrunched inside her fist. Making sure that Madame Pumphrey was nowhere near, he pointed this out to Ron.
"Try and get it out," Ron whispered, shifting his chair so that he blocked Harry from Madame Pumphrey's view.
It was no easy task. Hermione's hand was clamped so tightly around the paper that Harry was sure he was going to tear it. While Ron kept watch, he tugged and twisted, and at last, after several tense minutes, the paper came free. It was a page torn from a very old library book. Harry smoothed it out eagerly, and Ron leant close to read it too. "Of the many fearsome beasts and monsters that roam our land, there is none more curious or more deadly than the basilisk, known also as the King of Serpents. This snake, which may reach gigantic size and live many hundreds of years, is born from a chicken's egg, hatched beneath a toad. Its methods of killing are most wondrous, for aside from its deadly and venomous fangs, the basilisk has a murderous stare, and all who are fixed with the beam of its eye shall suffer instant death. Spiders flee before the basilisk, for it is their mortal enemy, and the basilisk flees only from the crowing of the rooster, which is fatal to it." And beneath this a single word had been written in a hand Harry recognized as Hermione's. Pipes. It was as though somebody had just flicked a light on in his brain.
"Ron," he breathed, "this is it. This is the answer. The monster in the chamber's a basilisk, a giant serpent. That's why I've been hearing that voice all over the place, and nobody else has heard it. It's because I understand parcel tongue."
Harry looked up at the beds around him. The basilisk kills people by looking at them. But no one's died because no one's looked it straight in the eye. Colin saw it through his camera. The basilisk burned up all the film inside it, but Colin just got petrified. Justin must have seen the basilisk through nearly headless Nick. Nick got the full blast of it, but he couldn't die again. And Hermione and that Ravenclaw prefect were found with a mirror next to them.
Hermione had just realized the monster was a basilisk. I bet you anything she warned the first person she met to look round corners with a mirror first. And that girl pulled out her mirror and...
Ron's jaw had dropped.
"And Mrs. Norris?" he whispered eagerly.
Harry thought hard, picturing the scene on the night of Halloween.
"The water," he said slowly, "the flood from Moaning Myrtle's bathroom. I bet you Mrs. Norris only saw the reflection."
He scanned the page in his hand eagerly. The more he looked at it, the more it made sense.
"The crowing of the rooster is fatal to it," he read aloud. "Hagrid's roosters were killed. The heir of Slytherin didn't want one anywhere near the castle once the chamber was opened. Spiders flee before it. It all fits."
"But how's the basilisk been getting around the place?" said Ron.
"A dirty great snake someone would have seen."
Harry, however, pointed at the word Hermione had scribbled at the foot of the page.
"Pipes," he said. "Pipes. Ron, it's been using the plumbing. I've been hearing that voice inside the walls."
Ron suddenly grabbed Harry's arm.
"The entrance to the Chamber of Secrets," he said hoarsely. "What if it's a bathroom? What if it's in Moaning Myrtle's bathroom?" said Harry.
They sat there, excitement coursing through them, hardly able to believe it.
"This means," said Harry, "I can't be the only parcel-mouth in the school. The heir of Slytherin's one, too. That's how they've been controlling the basilisk."
"What are we going to do?" said Ron, whose eyes were flashing.
"Shall we go straight to McGonagall?"
"Let's go to the staff room," said Harry, jumping up. "She'll be there in 10 minutes. It's nearly break."
They ran downstairs. Not wanting to be discovered hanging around in another corridor, they went straight into the deserted staff room. It was a large, panelled room full of dark wooden chairs. Harry and Ron paced around it, too excited to sit down. But the bell to signal break never came. Instead, echoing through the corridors, came Professor McGonagall's voice, magically magnified.
"All students to return to their house dormitories at once. All teachers return to the staff room. Immediately, please."
Harry wheeled around to stare at Ron.
"Not another attack. Not now."
"What'll we do?" said Ron, aghast. "Go back to the dormitory?"
"No," said Harry, glancing around. There was an ugly sort of wardrobe to his left, full of the teachers' cloaks.
"In here. Let's hear what it's all about. Then we can tell them what we've found out."
They hid themselves inside it, listening to the rumbling of hundreds of people moving overhead, and the staff-room door banging open. From between the musty folds of the cloaks, they watched the teachers filtering into the room. Some of them were looking puzzled, others downright scared. Then Professor McGonagall arrived.
"It has happened," she told the silent staff-room. "A student has been taken by the monster, right into the chamber itself."
Professor Flitwick let out a squeal. Professor Sprout clapped her hands over her mouth. Snape gripped the back of a chair very hard and said, "How can you be sure?"